Continuing the narrative of the first Christmas, picking up in the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter at the 8th verse. I listed that wrong. I'm going to go all the way to 20. That's where a lot of the good stuff is. Continue to listen to God's word. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. In several of the groups within our church, and there's many different things that go on in preparation for Christmas, every group has a party or a meeting or something, and it's all grand. But in a couple of places, I think it was at the session meeting and at the Thursday morning senior breakfast club at the Cranberry Inn, we talked a little bit about some Christmas memories. Christmas is a wonderful time to reflect on Christmas's past and building new memories, even perhaps on this Christmas. So we got a chance to do that, and I want us to do that just for just a short, brief, I won't even say minute, let's say moment, this evening. I'd like you to think about, and you can share this on the ride home or when you get home or walk home, if you're in town, what is the most significant, and that's up to you to define, Christmas gift you remember? It could be one you gave, it could be one you received. Think about that for just a minute. Do you have one in your head? Yeah? Just want to show of hands. How many of it is one you received? Okay. And how many one you gave? How many of you aren't participating? I see those hands. Well, in our family, it was when my daughter Elizabeth was, she'd just been a teenager, and she had two siblings ahead of her, Jennifer and Jonathan. And, you know, everything was kind of like handed down from there. And one Christmas, we totally surprised her. This was back, some of you may not remember things like Nintendo, things like that. That was back in that era. We got her a Nintendo for her. I mean, this would be something surely her brother would have gotten or her older sister. Well, Elizabeth opened it, and her response will never die in our... in our family's memory. She opened it and saw the Nintendo, her name on it, and she screamed, bloody murder. She got up from the living room, ran all around the downstairs, came back down, sat down in front of the box, looked out the box, looked at us, and screamed again. Bloody murder. So we'll always remember that. Well, there are young people who are getting very excited because opening the gifts is not too far away. Of course, we have different traditions of gift opening. Some of us open gifts on Christmas Eve. Some of us open them Christmas morning. Some of them open all at one time, everybody. Others of us, and this was my family's tradition, we, you know, one at a time. One at a time. The gifts were given out. Each kid had their pile around them. You had to get your picture taken with your pile of presents before and after they were opened. And then we went littlest to oldest all the way around. It took all morning, but what a wonderful way to do it. Well, certainly Christmas is all about gifts. Marilynne Robinson, who wrote the Pulitzer Prize-winning book Gilead in her latest book called The Givenness of Things, said that although some people get caught up in the commercialism and consumerism of Christmas, she said it's the only time that so many people focus on giving gifts to someone else, thinking about someone else, what they might want, what they might like, what they might need. She calls it inflamed generosity. I love that phrase. So yeah, I must admit, I've always been one about the commercialism, but that's right. It's the only one where so much love and thought and care is put into the giving of gifts. Well, gift giving is all the way back to the first Christmas. You know, the wise men, remember what the wise men gave? I know Mrs. K knows what it is. What was it, Mrs. K? What were the three gifts? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's right. You've probably heard that if the wise men had been wise women, they would have, one, asked directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, brought practical gifts, and there would be peace on earth. I have no idea who wrote that, but that's a classic Christmas piece, and it's been in my files for quite a long time. Well, the gifts that the Magi, wise men, brought, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, although very early in the process, was not the first gift of Christmas. The first gift of Christmas was the baby Jesus himself. There's a well-known verse in the Bible, and you'd even see it in end zones and football games sometimes, John 3:16, which basically says that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God loved the world. God gave his Son. The baby Jesus is the first gift of Christmas, given to us by a loving Father God. You know the song, The 12 Days of Christmas? Yeah? Do you think you can remember what they were? What's the first one? And a partridge in a pear tree. Okay, what's next? Two, three. Wait till I say the number. Four. Five. Yeah, thank you very much. We should have gone the other way. Then we, six. Seven. Eight. What's a milking? Maids a milking. All right, thank you. Nine. Oh, wow, you guys are good. I don't think I could do this. 10. 11. And 12.
Drummers drumming.
Drummers drumming. Did you know that that was, when it was originally put together, so the tradition says, a code for teaching religious truth in an era when it was illegal? I think the era is supposed to be in the 16th century, from 1558 to 1829 in England. It was against the law to be outright practicing Roman Catholicism. And supposedly the tradition goes that this song was developed by the Jesuits, the teaching priests, as a catechism song. And each one of these was a code for them to think of something else that they would have learned. Well, 12 drummers drumming would have been, what's 12? 12 apostles, good. 11 pipers piping. Some of these are tough. Think apostles, think one dead. The faithful disciples, yeah, without Judas. 10 lords a-leaping, the 10. Nine. Some of these are going to be a little tough. No, there's ninefold fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, humility, faithfulness, and self-control. That's nine. Eight, those of us who have been studying in our church here all through the fall, there were eight. Come on, that's a hint. What did we study? Say Beatitudes, Martha. Beatitudes. Yeah, there are eight Beatitudes. All right, seven, that shouldn't be too bad, right? Remember, think Catholic. Sacraments, seven sacraments. Almost done. Six, what did God do in six? Huh? Days of creation. Right there, you got that one. Five golden rings, five. The Torah, exactly, which is what? Thank you. I knew that. I was just making sure everybody else would. Four. What do we have four of in the Bible? The Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Three. Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or faith, hope, and love. Two. Oops, sorry. Two. Two. The Old and the Testaments. And who is the partridge in the pear tree? Jesus Christ. In this is the partridge. It keeps coming back down to that. But listen, apart from the symbolism of that, if you got all those gifts on the first day, a partridge in a pear tree, the second you got this, then you got 12 of that and seven, you would get 78 gifts. I added it. up and down with a calculator, but I added it. Nonetheless, 78 gifts. That would be a significant amount of gifts. The reason that we call it the 12 days is that the season of what we call Christmastide, the Christmas season, is actually 12 days long, the church season. It'll be, the colors will be white, and we'll be Christmastide, and that starts tomorrow, Christmas Day, and goes all the way to January 5th, because January 6th is Epiphany, and that starts something new. If you were to add up all those 78 gifts, that would be quite a bit of money. That I have not tried to do, but with pipers and lords of leaping and dancies dancing, it would be significant. You know those MasterCard commercials that say, you can get this with this, but this with this, but this is priceless? Well, God's gift to us is the gift that is priceless of all the Christmas gifts given. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Other Bible translations say it, his inexpressible gift, his unspeakable gift. And one of them says, his gift too wonderful for words. Jesus is the priceless gift of Christmas. But there's two things about that gift with which I'll focus on for just a moment. One of them is that a gift doesn't do you really much good unless you're willing to open it. God's gift to us, like any other gift, has to be open. Rick Warren, who wrote a very popular book in the early decade before us, in 2008 wrote a book called The Purpose of Christmas. His famous book was The Purpose-Driven Life. It was very popular for a couple of years. He says this, unwrapping your Christmas gift. If you sacrificed all you had to buy me a priceless and personalized Christmas gift, and I never took the time to unwrap and open it, how would you feel? You'd be disappointed and hurt and angry at my callous rejection of your generous love. And for me, the gift would be worthless if I left it wrapped and sitting in the corner. It would be zero benefit to me. It is astounding that so many people have celebrated Christmas every year of their lives without ever having opened their greatest and most expensive, precious Christmas gift. Jesus Christ is God's Christmas gift to you. Why celebrate Christmas if you're not going to open the best gift of all? Rick Warren says. Well, I think he's on to something there. How do we unwrap such a gift, though? Well, that gift has to be opened in a kind of a almost reverse way, because to receive that priceless gift of God, what has to be opened is us. We have to be opened. We have to be willing to unwrap whatever keeps us from fully accepting God's gift. You may have heard Christina Rossetti's poem. It's in Christmas cards quite a lot. It says, what can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart. To unwrap the gift God gives to us, we unwrap ourselves and open ourselves up to God's great gift of his Son. And lastly, we have to be very careful not to confuse God's gift to us with all of the rest of what comes with Christmas. You know, one of the great memories building times of this time of year is to unpack those wonderful ornaments, some of which have come down through the years. Some of them might even be dated. Someone used to give me the White House Christmas tree ornament every year. I have quite a collection of them. Some ornaments are passed down through generations in the family, passed on one from another. And of course, those traditions that we remember, like how you open the presents and what you do coming to Christmas Eve church service, all of those, we have to be careful not to confuse all of that with the gift itself. Because although ornaments that are precious to us can be unwrapped and used, put on the tree for several weeks, but what happens is we don't leave them up year-round. I shouldn't say that. Maybe some of you do. Or if you're in a trailer park, maybe you do, the lights or whatever. But we take them down. We live through the Christmas season, which really we don't celebrate the Christmas season so much as it's really Advent. That is all the weeks leading up to Christmas. That's what we know in our culture as the Christmas season. Because, you know, Friday, after the presents are taken back, Christmas is going to be over. It's going to be over for most of the world. Although we'll continue in those 12 days of Christmas. And all these weeks have been preparatory. We have to be careful not to take a little Jesus, and I mean that in more ways than one, out at this time of the year, and then for the rest of the year, leave him tucked away in the manger, in the creche, with all of the other characters and objects from the creche. Out of sight, out of mind, out of our lives for the rest of the year. May God's priceless gift to all of us, to each of us, be a fixture in our lives. May it not have a season. May it not have a shelf life of usefulness. But may God's precious gift be with us and in our lives, not just at Christmas, but all through the new year and all the new years beyond. Merry Christmas.